Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. David McKeag, the host of the game, powered by 91 Network. On this episode of the game, in the first segment, I will be joined by Connor Henderson, getting into the world of baseball in our strike zone segment as the playoff season is in full swing, and we'll also get into some hot news around the diamond. In segment two of the show, I'll be joined by Justin Heichel, getting into the hot news around hockey as the season nears, and we'll also be getting into our In the Pocket segment with week five approaching in the NFL. Let's go. Tonight's episode is dedicated to Scott Nason. On September 29th, 22, Scott Nason unexpectedly passed away. Scott was the co-founder and co-president of the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network, and we miss you every day, Scott. And to you, the listeners and viewers, from wherever you are listening or tuning in, if you're going through any struggles or challenges, please make sure you reach out to those who can support you, to the support services, or don't hesitate to reach out to anyone here on the game or 91 Network. We think of you every day, Scott.
Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. Here's your host, David McKeag Jr. Right off the hop, I am joined by the one, the only, the rookie of the year. If you know, you know, Connor Henderson. Connor, my friend, how goes it, my friend?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. You know what? Honestly, baseball, obviously, with you being here, we're going to be talking some diamond, we're talking some baseball, but baseball playoffs started today, today being October 1st. Can't believe I'm saying that already. October 1st, how time is flying by. Some games have already happened. Obviously, you and I couldn't connect prior, so we're going to talk about it now. The wild card, though, is in full swing, if you will, obviously, as the playoffs is here for Major League Baseball, my friend. And we're here to talk about it. And we also have some fun news to get into. So I want to go into that fun news first. I call it fun news. That's what I'm going to call it today. Before we get into the playoffs and, of course, the Tigers. One piece of fun news, as I say it again, that I want to get into is Shohei Ohtani for a minute, okay? At the beginning of the year, here I am ripping on the guy as a Blue Jays fan because of anger and, honestly, really a little bit of delusional thoughts, thinking that absolutely something like that would happen. And Shohei Ohtani signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers and everything's going to script this year, right? And Shohei is as advertised. The guy is an absolute, he is the best player in baseball. Okay, that's just it. He is the best player in baseball. He can hit. He can pitch. He does it all. He had over 50-50 season, which it hasn't been done. And even when a position player was pitching, he showed no remorse. And the guy hit it probably to the stratosphere. I don't even know if that number was calculated or counted. But Shohei had quite the season, you got to say, Connor. Very impressive.
I saw a really interesting Shohei quote the other day where he said that the pressure's off when he's in Los Angeles with the Dodgers, very contrary to where he was with the Angels prior, because with the Dodgers, every time he's up at the plate with runners in scoring position, he doesn't feel as stressed because he knows that his team will support him and that there's other opportunities for them to score runs. Whereas when he was with the Angels, everything rode on making sure that he had to capitalize on those opportunities or they weren't going to win. And taking that pressure off of his shoulders has really freed him up to just absolutely dominate at the plate this year.
You know what, honestly, 2 points before we go to our next point then. Okay, Mike Trout was obviously was his teammate, obviously is still part of the Angels. They thought that would be the big the monsters, right? Those two guys, and then Trout couldn't stay healthy. But I think Shohei had that support there. They had the intention of Rendon. They tried, but it didn't work there with the Angels. And that's a very good point. Very good quote, Connor. Very happy you brought that up because the Dodgers are a well-put-together team. Mookie Betts, Teoscar, the list goes on. Okay, there's obviously more to it there than that. Their pitching is very well. It's a very well-established organization, to say the least. But you know what? This can segue into our second point very smoothly, okay? If there's somebody that's in Toronto right now that I probably feels alone on that mountain in Toronto, and that is this man right here. And I got to say it, pay the man. I say that every so. But this guy right here, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., okay, he must be feeling a little bit of that pressure, Connor, that maybe Shohei was feeling. And Toronto shouldn't be that team. They have pieces there that should be complementary to him. But this year, it was basically, it's besides the beginning of the year, it was Vladimir Guerrero's show for the entirety of the season. And it was disappointing to get 200 hits, but you got to feel that, you know, that's that type of guy that can have those other pieces fall into place. Shohei had pieces. He joined a team that was nice. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is that type of guy that can bring those type of players to Toronto to make to complement that. Do you think if Vladimir Guerrero had more of that support this year that maybe he had last year, year before, or just overall support in general, we'd be talking a different Blue Jays season?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you need to give a supporting cast. Baseball is not basketball. It's not even hockey in terms of the impact that one player can have on a team. While it's really great to have a superstar and a face of the franchise like Vlad Guerrero Jr., and the Jays should hold on to him for dear life, I seriously think that they need to start supporting him, and time has long passed for that. So yeah, I completely agree.
Last thing before we get into the playoffs, I think it goes without saying, Pete Rose passed away, obviously, and I want to discuss something about Pete Rose I've been very passionate about. That man should be in the Hall of Fame. I've said that. It's not just because of the news that came yesterday. I've said that on this podcast for years, and obviously we've talked scandals on the show to no end in this segment, I should say, and obviously Pete Rose has been in the forefront of that before in the past, but there's a guy that has the hit record and obviously will have the hit record probably forever. I don't think anyone, that's one of those untouchable records, just like DiMaggio's hit streak.
Yeah. Right?
There's ones that you won't touch, but obviously baseball lost one of its greats. And I'm going to say this, it might not be, and this is the whole point of this topic and this point. I want him in the Hall of Fame, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame still. But if he gets in because of now, what has happened,
yeah,
that would be so disappointing to see. But is it going to happen that way? That remains to be seen, despite that he should be there. And I hope that he does get in there soon. But I think this year, year after, might be a little too soon, Connor. I hope it isn't because of this that he gets in. He should have been able to enjoy getting into the Hall of Fame as when he was alive.
Yeah, yeah. To touch on a couple things there. First, yeah, there's no shot in hell anybody's going to ever touch that hit record, especially nowadays where modern baseball has swung so much more towards going for extra base hits, and singles aren't really, like, you don't see 300 hitters anymore. Like, they're rare as can be. Two, if they put him into the Hall of Fame just because he died, which I see the your point. Yeah, there's certainly a higher probability now that he gets in because he's dead, which is weird and silly. Yeah. It would be a hollow sort of pyrrhic victory there. Yeah. Third, with the proliferation, excuse me, of sports gambling in our society. Good God, you cannot turn on a sports game nowadays without betwhatever.com shoving itself down your throat. With the amount of gambling addicts that modern day sports and same day sports betting has created over the last 5 years, it's honestly shocking that something like the Pete Rose scandal still hangs over its head. But baseball's taken a very hard stance on cheaters, which is silly because everybody who's ever played baseball knows that, like, cheating has always been a part of baseball since the beginning of time. But for some reason, whether it's steroids or whether it's gambling, with Barry Bonds, they didn't even technically catch him, and he's still banned. So it is what it is. Like, it, yeah. But poor Pete Rose, nobody's touching that record. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah. Like, I mean, probably. I don't know. Everybody was cheating, and for him, it was gambling, but still, it is what it is.
It is. And now I'll say one popular take for the listeners and viewers. What will get touched first if it does? DiMaggio's hit streak or Pete Rose is hits?
I think
DiMaggio.
Oh, for the viewers. Sorry. I was ready to.
What?
I'll say that.
Answer it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'll say the hit streak because it's fluky.
Yeah.
Whereas the hits over time for Pete Rose is just mathematically improbable. Yeah. Where you can kind of luck your way into one, you're not going to luck your way into 3,000 plus hits. And obviously, yeah, there's only a handful of players who even have the talent to do it. But anybody in the MLB can like ride a couple hot months if they had to on the hit streak.
Is it going to be Shohei? Just kidding. Now, speaking of playoff baseball, Connor, no time is limited, so we're going to transition to playoff baseball. Two topics in playoff baseball. One, we'll talk about a team, of course. We're going to save that for last because you deserve it. Okay, you deserve it, especially if you're a fan. But playoffs started, obviously, you got the Tigers, Astros, you got the Royals, you got the Orioles, you got the Mets, Brewers, you got the Braves, Padres. Those are teams that are in the wild card rounds battling it out. Today, before we recorded, Connor, the Tigers beat the Astros 3-1, and the KC Royals beat the Orioles. I'm gonna make sure I say that slow because there's a lot of ugh in that. 1-0.
1-0, yeah.
1-0, and right now the Mets are leading over the Brewers to likely win that ball game right now. But it remains to be seen. It's baseball. And you also have the Braves and Padres tonight. So all teams are in action, and you got also everybody playing tomorrow, which is when this episode is going to be uploaded. So people are going to hear game two. So we're not going to dive into news of each game, but obviously the teams that are waiting the wins, the Yankees, the Guardians, the Dodgers, and the Phillies. Okay, those are the teams that are waiting in the wins. As the wild card goes on here, Connor, I'm very excited. And I'm kind of going to steal the show a little bit with the wild card round. I'm excited about all the games that can go either way. Honestly, I really thought the Orioles were going to make a clean sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Okay, that's where I thought. And I know the Tigers are going to – that series, I think, is going to three, and I think we're going to see the Michigan boys come out on top on that. Okay, but obviously the Mets and Brewers, I'm hoping the Brewers could put up a bigger fight there. This is a team that has such a strong season, looks strong this year. The Mets were like this. Then they were like this. Okay, like this is a team that I feel the Brewers can truly beat. The Braves are in a position that they truly shouldn't be in. This is a team that has a big payroll, a stacked team, and they are in a wild card position. Okay, this is, should have been, in my opinion, a divisional favorite to make it all to not be in a wild card spot. And everyone knows that I have a soft spot for those Padres. Okay, so I'm pulling for Tatis and those boys, okay, in San Diego, or San Diego, if you will, okay, pull away against the Atlanta Braves. I think we got a very exciting wild card round. I think we got teams that are going to make it exciting, but the series that I'm really highlighted for, Astros, Tigers, and I'm also thinking of the Padres and Braves. Those are the two series that I'm really keeping an eye on. So I know tonight after we record where my eyes are going to be going on that Padres and Braves game. Lots of talent, and the games will be figured out by tomorrow, likely when this is uploaded, as we, well, probably won't finish all the series in the wild card, but we're going to have maybe a couple done, especially after today with some teams getting a win. But the teams that are waiting in the wins, okay? We're going to get back to talking about one team that I want Connor to talk about. Then Connor and I are going to give you the prediction for our World Series champion. Connor, talk about the Detroit Tigers, though, okay? They are, a lot of our viewers and listeners are Tigers fans, given where we're at. So we are going to give them a little bit of love. You're only going to get a little bit of me when it comes to the playoff preview. When we get into the divisional series, that's where Connor and I will dive into a little bit more. But Connor, take it away about the Tigers. How did they get here? 0.2% chance, and they did it.
Halfway through August, 0.2% chance, Dave. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this is one of the most historic runs that baseball has seen. I've heard people quote since the 1960s. 15-3 down the stretch, but then also they needed some historic losing ahead of them in the standings to help them along the way. It wasn't just their doing; it was, you know, some catastrophic failures that we don't need to discuss. But it's been fantastic. They're doing a modern approach to pitching, which is using the opener, going with long relief. Specifically not letting their weaker pitchers face either the top of the order of the other team's batting order more than once, but trying to maximize the innings usage along the way by having, you know, an elite relief pitcher start the game for an inning or two, and then having a long reliever face the bottom of the order, then the top, but they're coming in as a different look, and then the bottom of the order again before going back to a top five bullpen in the league. Basically, Tarek Skubal and Montero is their other starter. There were only two pitchers who could go long down the stretch. They had some other guys, Ty Madden, Kenta Maeda, but for the most part, they were running a two starting pitcher system because they traded Jack Flaherty. Reese Olson got hurt, and their starting rotation was in complete shambles. Now they find themselves 1-0 against the Houston Astros. AJ Hinch's former team, AJ Hinch being the head coach of the Tigers, who was in the cheating scandal with the Astros a few years back. And to top things off, having a guy like Tarik Skubal, who is the Triple Crown winning left-handed starting pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, one of the best in the game, being able to go out there and win you one of three in a best of three, what better situation could you ask for if you're them?
What were we talking about a month and a half ago? Why the Tigers didn't trade Skubal and why they didn't trade this guy?
Oh,
man. And now we're sitting here talking about, oh my, they're in the playoff. Oh my goodness. What was the payout? I don't have the math. If I would have put $1,000 down, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to embarrass myself or pull it out. But you know what? I wish we would have put some money down, Connor. Okay, maybe we'd be recording right now in Houston talking about these games with Tigers jersey. I'd wear a Tigers jersey for you. Okay, I'd wear a Tigers jersey for you.
I'll tell you what, it's been 10 years since I've seen them in the playoffs, which when I heard that the other day, it didn't seem right. Apparently it is. I was in high school back when they were last in there. When they had their 2012 World Series team that lost in the World Series, they had the Miguel Cabreras, the Justin Verlanders, these perennial future Hall of Famer guys. And now with this scrappy bunch, they've got one all-star pitcher in Skubal, one all-star player in Riley Green, who's like a decent outfielder, and it's just a bunch of guys, you know, and it's just a bunch of scrappy wins, guys you've never heard of, and they're just piecing it together one game at a time.
And you gotta love it, and you gotta love it. And I gotta share, obviously, the late Scott Nason was a big Tigers fan, obviously our original co-founder with yours truly with the game, huge Tiger fan. So obviously, you know, there's a lot of Tiger fans that I know, and that includes you, Connor, and there's a lot of people cheering right now for those Tigers. And I know who I'm going for this playoffs, but that doesn't mean that's who I'm picking, if I may say that. Now, speaking of that, as we transition, and next week, Connor, when we have a more clear picture of the playoffs, we'll dive into a bit more of this series and the teams in general. But before we let you go, because I know you have to go, the World Series prediction between yourself and me. I'll go first, and then I'll leave it to you, the best for last. World Series prediction, I will say I hope the Tigers make it. I am pulling for the Tigers. My dream World Series this year is Tigers-Padres. Okay, that is my dream World Series, is Tigers-Padres. But with the Padres getting the win, okay? I just got to say it. That's my dream World Series going the distance. Just kidding. I just psyched everybody out. Tigers getting the win over the Padres in seven. Of course, that'd be my dream to see close to home. If it's not the Jays getting there, I'd love to see the Tigers get there and win. It's close to home with that. But my favorite and the one that I would like to see is Tigers-Padres going seven, Tigers getting the win. But that's not my true prediction. My true prediction this year, and I was really torn, but I was going to be very boring here at first, but I changed my mind. Dodgers-Guardians, that is my finals. Not the Yankees. I will not say the Yankees are going to make it. And I got Shohei Ohtani getting his World Series championship this year. Connor, your prediction.
Good picks, Dave. I got to say, you've had a lot of success making picks on this show in the baseball world. I can't speak to other sports. But in the baseball world, you've had strong playoff picks in the past. So it's never a bad idea to follow those predictions. I'm going to follow one of them. I am going to put the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, as I always do. I'm a big Dodgers simp. What better in my view, what better than not a Dave McKeag, but a David biblical David versus Goliath matchup from Midwestern Michigan's own.
Let's go. Tell me.
Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, you did.
And those West Coast elites, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's go. There's the wild card team versus the perennial West Coast superstars. We have to put an end to their regime once and for all. AJ Hinch is going to bring the boys there. Let's go. Oh, with their hands tied behind their backs, Dave, I will die on that hill. Let's go.
They are hot. They are hot. Listen, it's not a bad take. They are hot. They've been the hottest team in baseball since who knows when now. That's how long it has been. Love it. Love it. Love it, Connor. This has been obviously the strike zone segment here on the game. Connor, I know you got some hoops to play. It's not really
swing, I do.
Obviously, so I'm going to let you go. But, and of course, we got Justin Heichel waiting in the wings. Sorry, easy for me to say, to come on to chat a little hockey and football. So, Connor, I want to thank you for taking the time, my friend. We'll be back on the next show to talk the next series, which we hope the Tigers are a part of.
See you then, Dave. I can't wait.
We'll be right back here on the
game. Welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. David McKay continuing to host you this evening. I am now joined by Justin Heichel. Justin, with the best background every week for multiple reasons. I say it every week. Joker, X-Wing, you name it. Okay, not just the Leaf hat you got on. How's it going, my friend? Another week here, another episodes. How you doing?
Well, lead in with the little jab here on the Steelers, I guess. We'll start there. Just a little poke. I can't be too abusive because I picked the Steelers to win last week. So, good game. Awesome game. Good to see the Colts and old man Flacco out there.
I didn't text Justin, just everyone knows. I didn't text him.
But, we got a lot of sports stuff to talk about here. There's a little bit of heat on the Leafs from the weekend. We got some football to talk about. Some good stuff here.
Lots of stuff. And it's funny that you brought up the Steelers and Colts. We did have a bet last week that the loser would have to eat hot wings. And I did make that bet last year with EJ. And I was unsuccessful in that too. So I had to eat hot wings last year. That video was not made public because it wasn't really professionally recorded at the right time. So now my wife knows of this bet and wants to make sure this is actually professionally recorded and uploaded. So now I got to eat the hot wings. And that will be uploaded on our social media accounts once that is completed, plan this week or next that we will be doing that. Usually I'd like to do it in the presence of Justin Heichel, but given our lives, it's sometimes hard to arrange. So either if he's there or not there, I will order the hot wings. They will be hot, that I can assure you. I'll even record that point if I have to, and I will eat them, and I will eat them with pride because they're going to be delicious because they're from a good friend of ours, Sports Center Bar and Grill, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar. And I've been a part of the Game Sports Podcast since 2016. Love it. That is a family right there. That is SportsCenter. And that's where I'll be eating those wings. But I'm still going to hold up my Palamalu and Steelers jersey there. And obviously pay the man up top, as I said last segment. But that jersey is going to be coming down.
Same time to put that away.
Yeah, it's about time to put that down. It will be by next week. We'll have a new jersey back or new jersey up there or back up there. We'll see. But yes, lots of sports, Justin. Before we get into In the Pocket to tap off the show, we're going to get into some hockey here. So what we've been doing the last couple weeks is we've had just one segment. We've talked hockey. We've included baseball and football into one. And of course, we do still commercial free at this current time for the best experience for our listeners and viewers. But we had Connor in the first part, obviously, and we went into baseball for about 20 minutes there. And it was great to have Connor come on as the baseball season comes to a close and playoffs is here. And him being a Tigers fan, very happy for him. It's an exciting time. But Justin, we are going to get into hockey here at some points. And first point that I want to get into before we get into In the Pocket to end the show is Jeremy Swayman. Okay. And now I don't want to dive into too much of this, but I do at the same time because now he could re-sign before this is uploaded tomorrow. And we're always cautious about that. So we're not going to predict where he's going, or maybe we will. Depends. But Jeremy Swayman is an RFA, Boston Bruins goaltender. If you know hockey, you already know, but just to explain to those who may not know. And the Boston Bruins traded Allmark to the Ottawa Senators this season. And part of that asset, they got Copercello coming back, was a part of the trade, of course. And the Boston Bruins were expecting to go into this season with Copercello and with Swayman re-signed. That was kind of their hopeful direction. And obviously, Allmark, Swayman, good buddies. And throughout the summer, Swayman didn't get signed. And now we're hitting the end of the preseason. NHL season is literally a couple days away as it starts in Prague this upcoming weekend. Can't make sure I remind everybody of that. Despite doing our season preview next week, remind everyone, we're not doing a season preview on this episode. It's going to be next week. Still, puck drops this weekend. Then the Boston Bruins do not have their starting goaltender. They have one. They have a starting goaltender, but it's not the one that they planned on going into the season. And the way things are cooking, it isn't really good looking, if you will. That's all that I'll say. Apparently, 64 million reasons is not a reason to be stating in a press conference because we've had some feedback that that's not true. And now we got this going on. So here we go.
That's messy stuff. I mean, especially from an organization like the Bruins.
Right? You don't hear of that. And I love it. I love it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 100%. I like seeing the Bruins like have a Jerry Jones kind of moment. where they're just out there talking shit right out of their ass in the public. And I mean, maybe they did offer him $64 million, but that's hysterical too, because he's played like, what, 130 games total?
Just around that. Yep.
Why are you going to give him like top of the line goalie? I'm not saying he's not worth it. Like, we're not, that's not in the conversation right now. No. It seems like an awful lot of, and the other end of like, if they offered him that, I'm pretty sure he would have signed.
I think there's no way he wouldn't have taken that deal. There's no chance.
His agent is notoriously a bit of a tough to deal with kind of guy. But I mean, the agent's job is to get what's best for his client. So it's, yeah, he's tough to deal with if you're the team. But if you're the guy who's, you know, paying him to rep you, you're probably pretty happy with the outcome that, you know, he's pulling in. And I think, honestly, in my gut, if they said, we would like to pay you $64 million, everyone would have said, cool, let's do it. But
let me give you this.
The Bruins are notoriously cheap. I mean, everyone's always, you've heard stories coming out of the, Marty Turco said he had to bring his own Gatorade. They didn't have a Gatorade fridge in the locker room. That's kind of, I mean, whether it's true or not, and whether he even said that, I don't know. This is just stuff you hear in the rinks, but
let me ask and tell you this. So I'm going to tell you this, Justin, more ask the viewers and listeners for this. The highest paid goalie in the National Hockey League. I'm going to put you on the spot for this, Justin. It's between two people. Do you know who they are? Just take a guess. I am putting you right on the spot. So I have it up, so I'm cheating.
I kind of wanted to say, like, in my gut, it's either Sorokin or Buddy from the Rangers or Saros.
So good guesses, but the top two are Vasilevskiy and Hellebuyck making 10. Okay. Number three is Sorokin. Sorokin's making 8.2. Number four, Carey Price is actually still making a good chunk of change, but besides that, that is Jordan Binnington making 7.5. So if Swayman was making $8 million, he'd be the fourth highest paid goaltender in the National Hockey League. So let's talk about pedigree. Vasilevskiy has won multiple cups. Okay. Hellebuyck has not. Okay. But he is worth, that's a pretty steep, but he's a goalie who can win you games, except last year's playoffs, he didn't really play that extremely well. Shesterkin, after this year, when his free agency comes up and they have to resign him, he's definitely going to get a massive payday. And there's no way that that guy is not the highest paid goaltender in the NHL, or at least tied with Vasilevskiy by the end of this year. He might be a $12 million guy for a goaltender, which is, but Jeremy Swayman would be a top five paid goaltender in the league for a guy who has only played, like Justin said, 132 games approximately in the National Hockey League. And as I sit here, I'm going to pull up his exact stats so everyone can see. So he's played 132. Yeah, Justin's got that exact on the dot.
Like that's
that's pretty bang on. For the playoffs, he has played a total of, that'd be 17 plus 1's 18, 20 games. Me doing math here while we're talking. 20 playoff games with a guy who has not won a Stanley Cup. Okay, he's had a good playoff performance. He's done well. He's had good seasons. He had a 2.53 last year. But this is a guy who ultimately, is he really worth this right now? If I'm a guy who is playing Swayman on the market, he is likely around that $7 million range. Okay, but if I'm a team paying Swayman, and on the open market, he's 7 to 7.5, as I think is what they would get on the open market. But if I'm a guy who would want to offer money, I think he's about 6.5. That's kind of the threshold that I would go with Swayman. But if you are going 8 years, that is that what you're paying for, right? You're paying for somebody who's going to get older and get better, and you're expecting that. So Swayman to get offered 8, as Justin said, there's no way that Swayman wouldn't take that. For Swayman to think that he is worth more than a Vasilevskiy or the same as a Sorokin, Vasilevskiy and Sorokin hasn't won anything. Okay, so he's not. So I would take Sorokin over Swayman. Any day. I'm sorry. I take Hellebuyck and Vasilevskiy over Swayman.
Oh, 100%, those two, 100%. Sorokin, I'm not sold on.
Not as sold? Okay.
So the playoff appearances. That's where you should make your money. I mean, especially us being fans of, you know, playoff appearances is what should get you paid.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily. Certain markets will pay you whatever, whenever. But honestly, like,
he's not worth that.
I don't.
He's not worth 10. Is he worth 8?
I would give him 8. So I know I said he's 7 on the market and he's 6.5. But if I'm 8 by 8, I think that's fair. And I think Swayman would take that. That's the point. He would take it. That's why I think that's a bullshit offer.
I think Cam Neely's just kind of being a dink, honestly, in that whole situation, throwing that comment out there. And I don't even, that might have just been like a, you know, sometimes I say stuff and then a week later it's like, ah.
But let's go on the other side of that for a minute. Do you actually think that maybe that just slipped and he didn't think and that actually was a number? Right? It's kind of like the way that he said it was so quick, was so, it didn't seem like he meant to place it or start it. He's kind of just said, yeah, I gave him 64. You know, it's one of those things where you say it and go, huh.
Yeah.
That came out. I wasn't thinking that. That came out. So, you know, obviously the agent that's going to be mad because now you're criticizing his client, right?
You're negotiating through the public too. And that's not.
Exactly. But you got to think, you have to think that tarnishes a little bit of a relationship there between
the organization.
There's no way that people are saying there's no way that he plays this year for Boston. I think he does. I think he still does. I still think he does. But is there a chance he traded? Sure. Sure.
I think a check that has multiple zeros on the end of it will solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, honestly. We gave you 64, huh? 70. Okay, we'll give you $70 million. Well, even, like, we'll make a joke out of it.
Okay, look, let's meet in the middle here. And, you know, like, I don't know. I think if he continues on the trajectory that he's at, and the Bruins haven't been, like, spectacular the last few years. They've been good, but they haven't been the Boston Bruins of 5 years ago with that defense and that forward crop. So, I mean, Swayman has had to work quite a bit. They've been sharing the load. And so, I mean, if one of them starts to dip a little bit, the other one could take a beating for a while. But I think in 4 years, 3 or 4 years, Swayman at $8 million a season is probably a super reasonable contract.
I think so. And I think that's what Boston's kind of looking at it as. Or maybe Boston wants to front, or maybe Swayman and his company want to front load it more. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, Boston hasn't been one to pay a lot of money, right? But now look at this offseason. Zadorov, Lindholm, Pasternak's making 11.25. Okay, so Boston has been a bit more open with spending money. But Marchand, he's hitting his older years now, and this is a team that is aging. Charlie Coyle's 32. Lindholm's 29, and they just gave him a little bit of dough. Pasternak is, he's not old. He's not young. He's in the prime of his career, hitting the 28 years old mark. You know, you have some younger guys coming up, but are they going to be the Marchands, the Bergerons? Are they going to be those guys? So maybe Swayman's thinking, in 8 years, do I want to be on this team? Am I going to be, when I'm at the prime of my career, when I'm hitting my 30th year, am I going to be on a team that's still trying to get back into the playoffs? How's this going to look? So,
I think we could go at this for longer than we'd like to. But I mean, again, like on that perspective too, like then his contract is super tradable. Because if you're going to have guys that are making, you know, obviously there's going to be the next Vasilevsky we're going to see in the next few years. There's going to be the next, hopefully, a Carey Price or a North American goalie that comes out of the shadows, because it's been real rough on that front for a while. And then that stepping stone is going to be, well, if Vassie's making this much money,
why aren't I?
Then I should be making, I'm at least $2 or $3 million better than him.
Right.
If the NHL continues on the trajectory they'd like to continue on, then the salary cap is only going to continue to go up. So,
yep. And that's where the funny thing is, when Spittin' Chicklets, and I'm going to give them credit for this, when they uploaded that trade rumor about, oh, okay, now Swayman going to Boston or going to Ottawa for Allmark, it's actually kind of funny. And then it was taken down. It's actually kind of funny because I actually don't think that's unrealistic that they would do that. But obviously, Allmark's been a little bit comfortable in Ottawa. Yeah,
right. Boston's not dealing from a position of power. Now, honestly, I'd love to see. I'm not sure on the specifics and how it works right now, but if someone could still offer sheet him and fuck the Bruins over.
Toronto. We don't have the cap space.
I mean, and honestly, we've got that, I don't even know his name, but that other. Yeah, him, the Hildebeest.
The Hildebeest. Like, you got to think, like, if you're San Jose, no, right? But let's really think about it for a second. Vancouver Canucks.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like,
they just took Zadorov and Lindholm. Thatcher Demko has got an injury that they can't even treat. Okay, like, the guy is not going to be 100%, probably ever. You need a goalie. And you have a team last year that had such a good season, okay? You have nothing to lose. You've made the playoffs. Your first-round pick, if you make the playoffs, it's no. It's okay if you have a late first to give up that pick for a goaltender of that stature, Okay. And I'm sure if Boston ain't going to do a trade with you, which I maybe they would unless you're giving up some assets. Nope. Here's an offer sheet. And then now you got Boston going, oh no. Like now maybe they match it. Maybe they match it. But you put $9.5 million on the table for 4 years, something small that Swayman's going to accept just in case Boston does accept it. Now you're in a different ballgame if you're Boston. Things change. That $1 million means something. And that's where people say, oh, Detroit should get into there. Yeah, they would make sense. They would. But I truly think the best fit is the Vancouver Canucks for Jeremy Swayman. I really think that would just be the best fit.
Solely on just the topic of disturbing shit. The Montreal Canadiens.
Why not? Did you see the teams need goaltending? Montreal, that's what I mean. Like, Detroit, Vancouver could use the assistance. Who else am I thinking of?
Montreal's got a TV show right now. That makes for good TV.
Let me give you another one that I was even thinking of. St. Louis, Boston, Binnington, Swayman.
Can you imagine Binnington in Boston?
Well, there'd be more because Swayman, in my opinion, is worth more than Binnington.
Yeah, he's just a luna. He's a fucking loose cannon.
Like, loose cannon. You got Corpusalo and Binnington there with Marchand. Like, that's cinema. That is cinema. Then you got Zadorov now back there. So you got just a guy who runs wild on that defensive core. I think that's something to watch out for too. I think if Boston's going to lose Swayman, as I fix my headset, I think they're going to look at something to maybe try to get something in return. I think it was itchy and then it went up. So thank you for making sure that's good though. I know we went a little extra there, but it's a hot topic today. We got to make sure we talk about it.
What was a good one? Honestly, I've never, you don't often see that kind of, blooper, whoops type moment from general managers, presidents of teams. Like,
that's why it's so believable. It slipped. Has someone not had something slip?
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's the heat of a moment. Like he's obviously annoyed.
Right?
He's not happy getting asked that question.
Right? So he's like, give 64 million. That's like, it's such a quick response. It's like he knew and they said no yesterday.
It's just his brain mouth filter wasn't there. Like, I'm bad for it. I do it all the time. Like, so that, like, to me, that's 100% what that looks like.
And why is the agent getting defensive? Like, I feel like they shouldn't. I feel that don't answer. Don't answer. That is the best direction. Don't respond. Let people talk about it. Let people think what's going on. And then you negotiate on the side or you say, hey, look, you messed up. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get traded. Now you've really messed it up. Yeah, maybe I did deny it. So that, I do actually think they might have offered him that. I know the agent said no and all this stuff, but that's quite the slip for someone to have. But I'd like to know what people think below. And what are the options? It can get real exciting lead up to the season. Is he going to sign? Is he going to get traded? Offer sheeted. Let's do it. Let's go. Give me some juice. Give me something. Justin, speaking of food and num-num, Utah and their concession prices. Okay, you can go to Utah and get a water, get a nacho, get a pop, get a dog, for $15.
Ice cream was like $3.
You go to the Scotiabank Arena. I'll get a beer XYZ, please. I'm not going to give anyone free promotion. I'll get a beer XYZ, please. Oh, okay, sir. That'll be $19.50. Plus, it's 15% interest every second you make me wait before you buy it.
The one crazy thing to me too, and maybe I'm just old school now, but like you go to the ACC or the Scotiabank or whatever the fuck it's called this week arena, and you're like, yeah, whatever. I got. Yeah, I'll get a beer, and you pull out a 20. They're like, "Oh no, we don't accept money here, sir.
We only credit.
This is you
only credit.
No cash. We don't do cash here. Well, how the fuck am I supposed to tip the guy? Like, you guys, like, you understand you're getting hosed a little bit here, right? When all the tips are just going through the old internet machine, like,
yeah, getting absolutely cash. Because I'm hitting no tip.
Cash in hand.
I'm hitting no tip on that when I'm getting that through. Tapping that no tip. Tap, go to the, tap.
Go to the Greyhound game. I get a soda there. A little bit of change in the cup. Away you go. Prices are accordingly. You get a nice little tip on the other end of that. It's like rounded up so you can give them a tuning kind of thing. Away you go.
It's unbelievable. I got to give credit to Utah for that. That is affordable prices. Take the family out. Spend the money. They're going to make their money. And I understand.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're trying to get asses in the seats. But, I mean, on the just to jump sports a little bit, the Atlanta Falcons are another one that does that. Where you can go for like $20 to Atlanta. Was it like a hot dog and nachos was like $6, like together. A beer is $3. Like
nuts. What planet? Like,
Atlanta's an okay team. Like, I would like to go. You know, it's not like you're in a city and it's like, hey, do you want to go to a Giants game? Absolutely not.
Carolina game? No, I don't.
The Carolina game, they were selling tickets for like buy one, get one free. And they were like $3 a ticket.
Imagine that in any other, in like a hotbed of sports. Yankees, if you want to look at. If
well, that's you
want
what I mean. Like, you know, like the Giants, Steelers, and the Jets, whatever. Jet. Fucking you, just like the Leafs or the
Cowboys.
Yeah.
Final thing about hockey before we go to In the Pocket, even though that kind of paused that transition. The Leafs and Habs this past weekend, a little bit of spice. Jack Eye turned into a jackhammer, if you will, and did his old impression of a Bertuzzi move, which is very dangerous, Matt, very dangerous. And
he got fined the maximum of $22 or whatever the fuck yep. NHL fines are these days. Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. But
that is a suspension. That is a 10-game suspension. That is something that you Riley last year for giving someone Riley Craig after his debacle hitting an open net on a slap shot. Which no. I loved that emotion with Morgan Riley. I'm sorry, I love that. But he gave him a cross check right here. Okay, I've played hockey. I can tell you right now, I've been cross checked here. I've been cross checked here. Here, places I can't say. I've been cross-checked in every which place, okay? And nothing feels worse than getting it in the old back of the head, okay? It does. You go right down. It's like a kink in the neck waiting to happen. You can land on your shoulder. Well, you can't defend it. There's nothing there. It's dangerous, okay? But Riley gets just under a handful of games, or he might have gotten five, if I remember correctly. Now, is it was three or five? I don't remember top of my head.
I think it was five, to be honest.
And this like happens.
Threw the book at him.
And get down and gives him everything he's got except the kitchen sink. And the guy gets $3.50 charged for his fine. And I'm sure the Habs paid for it. And he's not paying any fine of that. I really think the consistency in this league is a joke. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's because they're Toronto favorites. It doesn't matter. There just isn't any consistency that warranted a 10-game suspension. Maybe is that too high? Maybe 5 to 10-game suspension is where you got to start talking. You appeal at 10, it gets down to 5. Or 7. I don't know. Something like that.
I think you just leave that as is. I honestly.
Okay, then keep it consistent all year then. That's what I want all year.
Given the situation, because that was just situational based. Something had to happen there.
Wasn't Riley's, though? Wasn't Riley's?
Yeah, situational Riley, based? 100%. But Jack Eye isn't a leader of the team. He's a scrub. Honestly, like I don't have the authority to be saying who's a scrub and who's not a scrub. But on the food chain of the NHL roster list, how many kids are wearing Jack Eye jerseys versus how many kids are wearing Morgan Riley jerseys?
And you hold
certain people to a level of accountability.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, Nick Foligno didn't get anything for coming out and molesting Corey Perry awkwardly after that whole incident. And then he just never did anything again in the playoffs. But maybe that was he suspended himself. I don't know.
But that's when Toronto played Montreal, just so everybody knows.
But I mean, I want to circle back to the hit that caused all this for a second.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it was just an unfortunate series of events. And that's going to sound like the typical Toronto fan. I honestly think, like, the kid was just standing his ground and he was coming out a little wide because I'm trying to at least make the AHL team here. You know, I want to be on the Marlies this year, and I'm going to look like a real asshole if this guy comes in at 100 miles an hour and dekes me out, gets around me, pots one on the net.
Line, they can't get a break.
Guys. And, like, I just think it's just, like, between a guy that, literally, like you say, literally can't get a break and the kid just trying to not look bad. Like, I don't think it was malicious.
I don't think so.
Should he have been coming out there like he was snowplowing down Search Mount Hill with his fucking legs apart that wide? Probably not.
I mean, Search Mount Hill is a hill near Sault Ste. Marie, as everyone else knows.
But, like, I don't think there was intent there. No. I honestly don't. And, like, the guy had tears in his eyes after the game during the interview, so.
Yeah, it's not the way that you want to get known as, right? You're trying to make a name for yourself. You don't want to be known as that guy each year. Oh, you're the guy that stuck out his leg on Patrick Laine.
Well, that's it. Like, and he's got to go through that all season now.
And the way Jack Guy, though, approached, I get a team guy, get it. I would do the same in terms of fight, for sure, but it wouldn't be a punch from behind. You turn the guy around and saying, hey, you have no choice but to fight me right now. I'm not letting you back away. It's one of those moments where you're fighting me. But if you don't fight me, at least I'm grabbing you, telling you, and I'm dropping the mitts and we're going.
Maybe Jack Guy saved him from looking like, you know, a little rough on the old fighting end of it too, right? Maybe if I just jump him, I don't like make him look worse today. I'll beat him up a little bit. I'll look like the asshole. No one's surprised. Obviously, this thought didn't go into it. He was mad and he punched him. Like that's
the meat and potatoes of it.
But unfortunate incident. That's all I'm
hockey talk. Of course, and the right name for it here on the game is Top Shelf. And the inventor of that segment name is the guy on the other end of the camera over there. Not this guy, the other guy. Justin Heichel was calling it Top Shelf. You probably remember that. That was in 2017.
That was a good one.
When we renamed it Top Shelf, and it was its own little podcast, and now we've obviously integrated our shows into the segments. So usually with segments, we have commercials, but like I told you, it's commercial free. Even the space between Connor and here, we did this commercial free, quick.
Free flowing.
Exactly. So that has been Top Shelf. Good little teaser because we will have our season preview next week. Okay, I know it's a little bit behind, but hey, lots can happen between Prague and then lots of news between now and next Tuesday, especially if you're talking Swayman. And we'll have a newcomer to the Game Sports Podcast family who will be joining us on a part-time basis. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to definitely be a part of the hockey crew, and his name will be named on Tuesday. I'm going to give him a little reveal to allow him to talk about himself, to talk about his official joining, and he'll be coming on the show throughout the hockey season. He will be a part of the hockey segment with myself, with Alex, with Justin, and also when Dane is able to return as well. So we're going to be getting into In the Pocket, and it's going to be myself and Justin, and we're going to segue into it right away, right off the hop, getting right out of Top Shelf into In the Pocket. It will be just myself and Justin. EJ wanted me to tell the listeners and reach out to listeners that he's sorry that he hasn't been here the past few weeks, and he did mention that it is okay to ask for help. He wanted me to make sure that I mentioned that on the show in that exact form. And that does tie into, which I didn't get the chance to talk about too much at the opener, but obviously September 29th, Scott Nason's 2-year anniversary since unexpected passing has occurred. So I kind of wanted to make sure that when I talk about Scott, I wanted to bring it up in the regard of mental health in general, to make sure that you are talking to those around you or reaching out to the resources that are available here, or you can reach out to myself and Justin at any time as well, or anyone here on the game. So we're going to get into In the Pocket. In the Pocket is presented by SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Sustainable Ontario's best sports bar. Justin, let's get into In the Pocket. We're not going to dive into too much from last week because of obviously time, and we're going to save our stuff for this week, but there was some stuff last week. Okay, and we already talked about our Wings. We already talked about the Steelers and Colts game. When it was 17-0, I was upset, but the Steelers did make a game out of it. It was a great, it was a good football game coming to the end. I thought maybe there was a hold there at the end, but maybe I'm a particular Steelers fan to say that. I didn't want to, but I have. No,
the officiating was bad.
All week, I feel
all, like all game that like every game sucked. Honestly, like it was loose. Like there were some bad calls both ways in the Steelers. Like, if you're going to make, like, I don't know, you got to call penalties. Like, just because you missed one earlier, so you called, like, I don't, just call it. Just call it.
Call the penalty. And last week was, I feel, I don't want to say an underwhelming week, or I thought I would see a lot more excitement last week, but
there was excitement. You were depressed.
I was probably not watching all the right games, but there was some good football to watch. And I really think the game between the Vikings and Packers had a lot of action packed, but that was going on during the Steelers and Colts are flicking back and forth is what I was. The Eagles are just not the Eagles right now. The Buccaneers just running hot shot there. The Commanders 42-14 over the Cardinals. Saying
Jaden Daniels, I think, might be the real deal there.
The real deal. And the Ravens said,
No. Huh? Derrick Henry said, get fucked, is what he said.
That's... get fucked. 100%. If anyone wants to know, 199 yards for.
They were trying to get him 200.
They were. It's like the Jays were trying to give Vlad Guerrero 200 hits, but you know, some people can't hit that 200, it seems like. But Derrick Henry,
deserved 200 yards that game. He was all over that field. He was great.
I forget who said it in the garage where we were watching the game, but the comment came up. It's like, why is he wearing a crop top? And then someone else turned around and said, you going to tell him not to?
Yeah. Him and Metcalf really? Are two guys you're not telling.
He knocked the guy out cold with his thigh. Like,
he had an 87-yard run.
Yeah, and at 50 yards down the field, there was guys in the other team said, fuck it. I'm not. No.
Just no.
I'm not jumping in front of that. Fuck you guys. You do it. And no.
With Henry, with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens said that game that, nah, we're not going to be 1-3. We got to be 2-2 on the season. This is too big of an offense. And the Bills, after having a 3-0 start this season, had a little awakening against those Ravens last week.
I felt bad for Josh Allen. He was running for his life the entire game.
The entire game.
Like, he just, every time, I'm going to roll out right and just sprint and scream because I don't know what's going to happen here.
And the Bengals and Panthers, closer than I anticipated. You got to give credit to Andy Dalton, I guess.
I wanted the Panthers to win. I picked them. I was hoping the Red Rifle was going to pull it off. Chuba Hubbard, though, hell of a game.
Canadian boy.
Yep.
Got to give it to him. The Canadian boy is looking real good. And truthfully, man, the Bengals are not as strong as I thought they were going to bounce back this year. I think this team is very vulnerable. They're beatable each week. Cody Rhodes has to get a new haircut there.
Yeah, he's got to do something there. Maybe join the bloodline. I don't know. Is that Chase Brown on the Bengals? Is he Canadian as well?
Chase Brown. Let me double check that. Bengals.
Is he the one? I think him and his brother were both in the NCAA.
Born in London. That doesn't make him. Okay. Western Michigan.
Okay.
He's from London, Ontario, Canada.
Okay, so he is Canadian.
And at London, Ontario High School. He was born March 21st in London, Ontario. Chase Brown.
Yeah, so I think his brother got drafted as well. But that's a deep dig for another day. But yep. He had a good game. I think he had like 100 yards, touchdown. He turned into the guy who's poaching touchdowns at the line. So picked him up in fantasy this week. If anyone else is looking for a running back for the waiver wire week here.
There's your guy.
Chase Brown.
Go after Canadian. Chase after the Canadian. But Justin, I got puns this week. Lots of puns this week. Week 5 of 18. We're already in week 5. We're already a month into talking the show, getting back into it, which is unbelievable. It's great. The 8th season in the pocket's flying by. But week 5, Justin, and the standings sort of changed. Kind of, sort of, for our pick'em. For those who don't know, our pick'em is we pick through Yahoo Sports. It's a pick'em every week between myself, Justin, and EJ for our picks for that week. And that's likely how you maybe got here to listen to the show, is through clips on our picks. But if you listen to me the first week, 15-1, you know, I haven't been as hot as that the whole season yet, but I've been able to hold a nice lead in first. And Justin is going to tell you about the standings and talk about our pick-ems from this past week.
All right. So not much movement at the top. Kegger's Gridiron Picks still in first, 40 points. But a big shakeup here between 2 and 3. Picks now in second with 35. And the Browns is the Browns in third, also with 35. So I believe I won the tiebreaker last week, which I think was picking Miami to score the least points.
Miami Dolphins in trouble.
They were in trouble a long time ago. Now there's something else, and I don't know what it is.
Lots of trouble. Justin, you can lead the way with the picks to start this week.
All right. So Thursday nighter, and like Thursday nighter has been pretty good this year. We got Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Pretty torn on this one. Even Yahoo, it's showing the like basically 50-50. I'm taking Tampa Bay. I'm buying in on the Baker train. Atlanta's fun, but Bijan's been hosing me in fantasy, and for that, he has to lose this week. Minnesota over the Jets, and the Jets look rough. Although there's some Davante Adams rumors swirling now that he has asked for a trade out of Oakland. I'm taking Chicago over Carolina, the Ravens over the Bengals because Derrick Henry, New England over Miami because someone has to win that one, Washington over Cleveland because, I mean, Deshaun Watson sucks. I'll say that for EJ. I'm sure EJ has way better words for it, but Deshaun Watson sucks.
He hasn't been able to defend himself, EJ. Poor guy, last couple weeks.
No, whatever he's going to say about Cleveland when he gets back, I'm sure it's been building and it's going to be glorious.
Very good.
Indy over Jacksonville, Buffalo over Houston, Denver over the Raiders. Big on the Denver train this week, or lately. Bo Nix with his like what negative passer or passing yards in this first half of the game, but still ended up
Oregon alum.
San Fran over Arizona, Green Bay over the Rams, Seattle over the Giants, Pittsburgh over Dallas on the Sunday nighter because the Cowboys need another primetime game, and KC over New Orleans. I was kind of torn on that one. KC has not been spectacular. Patrick Mahomes looking pretty rough and then taking out one of his wide receivers this week. Tiebreakers, KC 27, New Orleans 24, Pittsburgh 31, Dallas 28. Most points this week, the Ravens. Fewest points this week, Miami. So let's hear what you got, Dave.
Honestly, we almost had the same picks, but I'm glad before the show I changed it because I changed two of the picks are different. Okay, so it's really going to make or break. Going first, Falcons, Buccaneers, got the Falcons in that one. That was one of my changes. Vikings over the Jets, Bears over the Panthers, Ravens over the Bengals, Patriots over the Dolphins, Commanders over the Browns, Colts over the Jags, Bills over the Texans, Broncos over the Raiders, Niners over the Cardinals. I got the Rams over the Packers. I originally had the Packers over the Rams, but reselected it before recording. Seahawks over the Giants, just because. And the Steelers over the Cowboys. That was another one of my changes. I did originally have the Cowboys this week, but I got to go back to my Steelers. I am not a biased picker when it comes to sports, I swear, but I got to pick the Steelers when it comes to at home. I just feel like it's one of those games where Dallas is going to be in a trap. Defense is going to be really lively for the Steelers. Got the black and yellow there for that one for the Sunday nighter. Very excited. That's a Sunday night game too. Great. Justin isn't. And then I got the Chiefs over the Saints. And I think that was very close for me. Okay, very close. I know that the odds are really in the Chiefs' favor, especially being at Arrowhead, but I got the Chiefs getting away with that win. 28-21 is what I have the Chiefs over the Saints in a close game. 24-21, Steelers over the Cowboys. And yes, I had the score the other way before I changed it. Who will score the most points this week? The San Francisco 49ers. I'm just feeling like Brock Purdy's going to go off this week. I was hemming on about the Ravens because of Derrick Henry, but nah. And then the least points. Sorry to Cleveland fans, but the Browns having the least points this week. I'm going to go that low. I don't think the Browns get double digits this week in points. That's how bold I'm going to go. Those are my predictions. Very similar to Justin's. Let us know your picks below. We're liking the traction with our picks on TikTok and on Instagram. We'd like to see the likes, but we want to see more of those comments. So let us know. We did have somebody comment recently and say, nice picks. Well, thank you. That was really nice. Yeah, but if you wouldn't mind, if you want to disagree or go against us, feel free, because we do go against each other. But Justin and I are fairly close this week in picking our picks. But EJ might not be. But EJ's not here to defend himself on what his picks would be. So that is our week 5 picks as we go into week 5 in the National Football League season.
Just an FYI this week, too, for everyone. We got a bunch of weird time sporting events this weekend. NHL is going on in Prague, so I believe those are morning games or around-ish morning. And then we got a Sunday morning game, Minnesota and the Jets on Sunday, playing in England, I believe.
So the games this week, you gotta check it out. It's always cool to watch the games that are overseas. It is, but the meat and potatoes of the season, especially if you're in Canada, are definitely watching it next Wednesday when puck drops between the Leafs and Habs and all the Canadian teams are in action. But you got to enjoy when they are playing the games over in Europe. And it's cool. It is very cool. You know, we've seen the Swedish series that we were able to see recently, obviously with the Leafs, the Wings, and I believe Minnesota was the other team in there, if I remember correctly. So it's good to have these international games. It helps grow the game. I'm a fan of that when it comes to hockey. And when it comes to football, well, this year you got a treat over there later on this year between the Giants.
Oh, you're talking Panthers. The Giants and Panthers in Germany.
In Germany, yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Then obviously earlier this year they had Brazil. Leagues are trying to get the game to grow, and it's good to see. So lots going on, though, this weekend, like Justin said, when it comes to sports. There's obviously got college football going on as well. I'm not going to sit here and talk about college football to its full degree because that is EJ's specialty in the most part, but I got to give love to my Oregon Ducks. They are looking real good. Offense is on fire. They got Michigan State this Friday, and they're actually at the Big House November 2nd, and I've been really hemming and hawing about going to see them at the Big House because I've never been able to see Oregon in a game. But college football is going on. You got the National Football League starting Thursday. Puck Drop starts officially this year in the NHL on the weekend. There's a lot to put an asterisk on as we hit the beginning of October. And we can't forget the sport that we talked about at the beginning. Baseball playoffs. We can't forget that. Lots to really take in and do, which is a good recipe for you to get up in the morning, have your morning coffee, decaf, not tea, whatever your flavor is. Do your workout if you want. Go out, walk your dog, do your little activity in the morning. Then you come back in the afternoon and you put your feet up and you enjoy the love of the world, which is sports.
That's what I mean. You gotta go out, you get the coffee, you get a little walk in, you get the juices flowing in there.
Yep.
Because you're going to abuse yourself on the couch later in the afternoon.
That's you sure are. You sure are. As I sit there with my nachos and homemade salsa getting in
Tiana making queso on Sunday, and I was doing quality control all afternoon, and then supper time came around. She's like, what do you want for supper? I'm like, I've been eating cheese all day. I don't want anything for supper.
Your supper, water and water and grapes. No.
Just give me some more kinky. What else can I dip in this cheese? Stop dipping things in the cheese dip. Over there, I had a piece of garlic bread. I'm dipping it in the kinky. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
I know on Saturday, there's one thing. I got to give congratulations to a good friend of mine, Anthony Greco. He doesn't know I'm saying his name. I hope he doesn't mind. I feel like he won't. But he's obviously getting married this weekend. It's obviously looking forward to that. It'll be a great time. So sports, wedding, I know I'm going to enjoy it. I want to hear what you're going to be doing. Comment below and let us know your winners for the pick'em. And tell us if you think Justin and I are crazy, because you know what? A little bit. Justin, I think I've touched on everything. I know if there's one thing that I messed up on in terms I kind of wish I would have touched on, the Scott portion at the beginning of the show, but in a little bit more detail. But ultimately, I want to make sure that I remind listeners that next week when we come back, that's when it's going to be our NHL preview show. So that will be on Tuesday. It'll be uploaded for your enjoyment on Wednesday, right before puck drop, as we get to that.
We're just waiting for all the preseason injuries to work their way through so we actually know what players to talk about.
Exactly. And like I said, wish there was some more detail I could have shared at the end, but we want to make sure we give love to Scott Nason. Obviously, that's been big hole void for myself and a lot of members here on the game, but obviously we've definitely altered the show a lot since then. We have grown and we have a lot of big things coming, especially with our spaces announcement just last week as well. So lots of good things to look forward to here on the show, but I want to make sure I stress to everyone that do not be afraid to ask for help at any time. Okay, especially if it comes from us. So I want to say thank you to Connor, who's not here to say you're welcome once more. But you're here, Justin. I want to say thank you to you for taking the time, as always, every week to come on. And until next week, my friend.
Well, I'll be here. I'm load up on some good sports giving this weekend with baseball playoffs, college football, NHL, NFL. I mean, I think the WNBA playoffs are going on, too, if that's your jam.
There's not enough TV space to watch.
Caitlin Clark got knocked out, so I kind of checked out after that.
She's good. She's good at basketball.
That's kind of what was holding me into it. So I'm not there anymore. And I believe there's a WWE pay-per-view this weekend. So.
Honestly, that's something that we do talk about, and I can't wait to have you and Parr talking about wrestling with me down the road once our schedule gets all lined up and everything. So that's Justin Heichel. He is our... obviously one of our main co-hosts here on the game, but he talks all sports here on this podcast.
I don't discriminate unless it's basketball management, then I don't really know anything about
but the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I know absolutely nothing about NBA management strategies.
I wish I had a video of that. That is one of the most priceless moments.
I wish there was audio of it somewhere still. That would have been...
There is.
Is there?
I gotta find the date. Okay. It's on Podbean. I don't know if that's Podomatic time or if that was Podbean time, because people forget that the game was on Podomatic before. Wow, I haven't said that in a long time.
You want to hear some ums? That's a good one.
There's a lot of there. Yeah. That was weird. But there's a lot.
Yeah, the video on that was weird.
Yes, it was. The video was of that. But nonetheless, thank you again, Justin. And I want to thank you to everyone for joining. Make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the platforms of the game. That's TikTok. That's Instagram. That's the 91 Network YouTube channel. Okay. And that's also checking us out on Facebook. If you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Google, wherever you are, we know that a lot of people don't listen to us on the Amazon or Google side. It seems like Spotify and Apple are really popular for that. Spotify has now edged the Apple. It seems like it's went like this. And over time,
it's went like this. So people definitely checking us out on Spotify, leave a 5-star rating too. It really means a lot to us as we are continuing to grow on the show, even 8 years in, still growing. Very excited about the next things to come. So until next week, we'll be back on Tuesday for the recording, official upload on the Wednesday. You're hearing this the day before recording as well. So if we've missed anything, well, we apologize, but we hope you've enjoyed the past hour and 10 minutes of content because there's a lot to digest there. On behalf of Justin, Connor, and everyone here at the game and the 91 Network family and myself, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.